Blog Talk Radio.
LifeQuest Christian Network.
Welcome to Reflecting His Gifts. I'm Susie Ellison, your host, and I believe that everyone has a God-given purpose, a gift or a talent, a testimony of grace that is meant to impact this world for the good and bring glory and honor to God. Tonight we'll be talking with a professional baseball player. The world is full of avid baseball fans, and they love to watch their favorite baseball teams and players hit their home runs and win their games. And not many people, myself included, realize the determination and dedication that it takes to become professional baseball players. It takes patience, diligence, courage, stamina, and so many other things to achieve this kind of playing acquired for this level of the sport. It takes blood, sweat, and sometimes even tears, I guess, as the skills are acquired that are needed to play professionally. As physical and mental toughness are acquired through the steadfast determination of these athletes, that same determination and endurance can shape their personal lives and character. My guest tonight is a professional baseball player who has taken those physical and mental skills to a whole other level, using many of those same great habits to build his character, his mental toughness, his career, and his platform as a life coach and motivational speaker. C.J. Beatty speaks at conferences, workshops, churches, schools, and collegiate events, delivering keynote addresses. His life experiences and polished skills have allowed him to speak to a wide range of audiences by crossing age and cultural lines. It's my pleasure to welcome to Reflecting His Gifts tonight, professional baseball player and motivational speaker, C.J. Beatty. Hi, C.J.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm so glad you're with us tonight.
Yes, yes, this is a blessing. I'm very excited to get this show underway, and being a guest on this show is one of the featured things that I can't wait to put on my resume.
Well, I can't wait to talk with you, and I know our guests want to hear all about you. CJ, I like to paint an up-close and personal picture of my guests' lives so that our listeners can get acquainted with CJ Beatty. All of our stories begin, of course, with our childhood. So why don't we start with your childhood, where you grew up and about your family. Would you tell us about that?
Okay, yes, no problem. Well, of course, CJ Beatty from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. 26 years old, born in September on the 28th, 1988. So I am a Libra. Baseball was the first love, and that's how I got started. My family, my mother of Lorraine, Chris Beatty, is my father. I'm the oldest of four, so I have my brother Chandler, my brother Carlisle, and my sister Allison. So baseball's always been a passion in my life because my mother didn't want me at the bottom of a football pile. So my father, just like a good husband, listened to his wife and chose a less contact sport. And baseball has been good to me ever since.
That's good. And, you know, that is a fear of many moms. They don't want their sons hurt in the sports. And I guess I would choose baseball, too, over football. But you do get hit in the head every once in a while with a ball, don't you?
Yeah, yes, you do. But knock on wood, I haven't had a baseball come near my head, so I'm doing pretty
good.
Well,
I hope it never, ever does. You know, CJ, a lot of great baseball players got their start playing T-ball. Did you play T-ball?
I sure did. I started playing baseball at the age of five. I guess at that age, it's either you are – not aware of the rules or you're really, really good. At that age, to be really, really good, all you have to do is run the right direction.
Yeah.
Just about 95% of the players run the wrong direction, or they're more interested in the dandelions and outfield versus the ball. So age five is where it all started for me.
But that's the cutest thing to me. I don't know a lot about baseball, but I love to watch those little bitty baseball players running out on that field. That's so cute to me.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's never a dull moment on those fields.
No. Well, T-ball is only the beginning of the sport. What's the progression from T-ball? What's after that for people like me who don't know a lot about baseball?
Yeah, typically you start, you're not allowed to start play unless you're 5 years old. And you go from T-ball to pitching machine will be next. That's whenever the ball is placed inside of a machine and it is thrown at you, or it's the machine is like has a wheel on it and it'll shoot the ball out for you. Then after you graduate from machine pitch, you go to the next level, which is kid pitch. And once you go to kid pitch, those fields are still the same as T-ball. And it's called the minors. I mean, then they have different names. Every inch and space of the country calls it, you know, Bronco, Pony. They have so many different names for the leagues. But just telling you about the ones in North Carolina, the next level is minors, where those kids are throwing to you. Majors is the last level on the small field. And then when you get to the big level, which is juniors, that's when you get out to the big field. Juniors and seniors are on the 90-foot bases, 60-foot mounds.
Wow. Well, what part did your dad play in your early sports activities? Did he encourage you, assist you, or practice with you? And how important do you think it is for parents, especially fathers, to be actively involved in the sports endeavors of their kids?
I think it's very, very important. Very, very. I mean, my father and my mother, but physically, my father played a very instrumental role into, you know, getting me to practice. Because at a very young age, you really don't appreciate practice. You just want to show up on game days and go play. But my dad did a very, very good job at instilling into me, if you want to be the best, you got to fall in love with practice. And after we got done with my homework, my mother policed the homework a lot more than my father did. But after we got done with my homework, my father took a bucket of balls. We went to the field next to our house, and we got a lot of baseball. We got at least an hour in of baseball every day. And I didn't dread doing it. I loved doing it because I had dreams. And he told me, if you want to play on TV, this is what everybody did before they became a big leaguer on TV. So I bought into it, and I had fun practicing, and I fell in love with it ever since. Practicing is key.
Wow. Well, you progressed to each of those levels of baseball you've described, and where did those continual levels finally lead you? I understand that you received sports scholarships to colleges, so you must have stuck with it and done very well.
Oh, yes, yes. I was blessed and fortunate to continue to increase in my ability and get better and better. And like I said, I bought into it. I saw that the awards were coming and people were telling me, hey, you got what it takes. You know, you got what it takes. Coaches would tell me, hey, you got what it takes. Just keep going. And I say it again, I bought into it and I kept wanting to get better and better and better. So practicing became more and more important to me. I played AAU baseball after Little League. I got on the travel ball team, and we won a national championship at the age of 13 in Sarasota, Florida, against Team Puerto Rico. And that was a big platform to play on and for me to perform well on. You know, I'm used to competing well against my Little League teams, and now I'm playing AAU against guys from all over the world.
Wow.
And we won a national championship. And it was just an eye-opening experience to saying, hey, man, I really do think I have a shot.
Yeah.
I went into high school, and I made varsity my freshman year and batted third in the lineup, a premier spot.
Wow.
Transferred to a better school my sophomore year, made All-State. I had a bunch of letters coming in from Major League Baseball teams. My senior year of high school, fortunately, I didn't, but at that time it was unfortunate that I didn't get drafted, but later on in life, I'm glad I didn't. I got a lot of letters from, like, the Yankees, the Arizona Diamondbacks, and the Royals when I was a senior in high school with the interest of possibly drafting me.
Wow.
Yeah.
But
the letters came in. My started coming in my junior year. I had over 65 different letters of interest.
You were good.
Yeah, it was. I took a picture for the newspaper, and we dumped all the letters on the table, and we couldn't even see the kitchen table anymore.
I'm sure you couldn't. That is quite an accomplishment. Well, what positions were you best at when you first begun to play baseball, and were you good with a bat? Were you a great runner? Were you a great catcher? All the above, and what positions do you play now as a professional?
I grew up playing kind of shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up playing shortstop, but typically what happens as you get older, you know, the outfield is where you, when you're young, the outfield is kind of where you hide your weaker defensive players at when you're at a younger age. But as you get older, it's no more hiding. The baseball will find you. And the field, when the fields got bigger, coaches typically would like to put their fastest player in center field to cover all of that ground out there in the outfield.
Yeah.
So I went from shortstop to center field to playing baseball. And I've been an outfielder ever since. But right now what I'm called technically is a utility player, and that's a player that can play multiple positions, outfield, infield, or whatever it is. You're just a utility player. You can play more than two positions.
It means you can do anything, doesn't it?
Just about, but please don't put me on the mound. I can't pitch.
Oh, you can't. Well, everybody's got their weakness, a little bit of weakness,
yeah.
So fair.
Yeah.
But, well, I know there's a lot of grueling leg work in practice involved in being a great baseball player and part of a team. I think I mentioned to you when I talked to you earlier, my grandson has played on baseball teams every year since his T-ball days, and I know most of his springs and summers are spent in heavy practice and actual games, and it doesn't leave a lot of extra time just to relax, does it? Is that what it takes? And how do you discipline yourself to do all that it takes to be a great baseball player and find time to relax?
Yeah, it's a grueling process. I was just explaining to a friend before this phone call that if you're not familiar with baseball as a professional, you play every single day. Just about every single day. We play anywhere from 96 to 120 games between the months of March and September, and minimal off days. Like sometimes we only have 12 or 13 off days over the course of a season. So you can imagine every day going to the baseball field, rain, sleet, or shine. If we don't play and it's raining, we're still required to report. We're still required to get some type of work in. So, yeah, baseball is, and that's why they always say that baseball is not all physical, it's a mental game. You know, you have to be mentally prepared to play this game. And that's why I tell the kids that don't wait till you get to the age of possibly playing professional baseball. You have to instill that mental toughness into your game now. So once you get there, it'll be second nature to you.
Well, that's good advice. What teams have you played with in your young, stellar career, CJ?
Which you're talking about the national championship team?
Yes.
I played on a team called the Greensboro Batting Center. It was coached and managed by Alan Ashkenazi, based out of Greensboro, North Carolina.
So I understand you were also a St. Louis Cardinal. I know that is every young baseball player's aspiration to become a St. Louis Cardinal. What was that like for you? Oh, my goodness, I can't imagine.
Yes, it was. I tell everybody, like when I had my interview on Fox, on one of the Fox affiliates, I said it was almost like if I could go back and put that feeling, that moment inside of a bottle, I would have it on a shelf every time I need a pick-me-up just to relive it. I mean, that feeling is hard work paying off. I mean, it was one of the most priceless moments that you could ever talk about, because it's something that I've been wanting to hear my name called since I was 8 years old. So to be sitting there with family, I had my middle school coach, a couple little league coaches, high school coaches, family members, the news crews were there, and we sat and we waited. It was nail biting because, you know, they tell you that you could go in this round, and when you don't hear your name, you're like, well, what's going on? You're sitting there nervous. Everybody's there. And then when that phone rings and then you say, I agree to it, and in a matter of 30 seconds, the lady on the live internet feed is, you know, said, you know, in the 26th round, the St. Louis Cardinals select Christian J. Beatty out of Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I mean, it was just almost, I mean, I'm almost getting emotional talking about
it. I've got chill bumps just listening to you.
I can feel it right now. Yes, it is. It's a feeling that and that's another reason why I go so hard with my motivation, because I want every child that comes in contact with my brand to feel that. That's my goal, to give every child a valid chance to feel what I felt that day.
Yeah. And, you know, it's possible, isn't it? Did you ever, well, I guess you did think it was possible, or it wouldn't have happened for you. You tried so hard. But it is possible for any kid who's playing baseball as hard as you played and continually like you played to become a St. Louis Cardinal. That could happen, couldn't it?
Yes, it is. It, at the end of the day, You have to know it for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you can't know it only for you and your family and your friends and your coach. You have to know it deep down only for yourself. Because when you only know it for yourself, then you will keep motivated. Because if you rely on other people to tell you that you're good, what happens whenever they don't believe anymore? Then what will you do?
Exactly.
So
it's kind of like that.
I knew it for myself, and that's why I said, you know what, I'm not stopping until it's done.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like that song, I Believe I Can Fly. What is that line in it? If I can see it, I can be it. And I think we have to see it and believe it, and then we can be it, can't we, CJ?
Yes, you sure can.
Well, was the regimen even harder at that point as you entered that particular arena of professional baseball? What was that like for you? What was that life like?
Yes, that life, it was another step, another bridge that you have to cross. It was a stat that I just saved here. Here it is right here. I'll read it out, that I didn't know about, and it was something that people need to be aware about. And it was jaw-dropping for me to read this statistic. In Little League Baseball, there are 2 million players. In high school, there are 455,000 players.
Mm-hmm.
In college, there are 25,000 players.
Mm.
Drafted, 1,500 players.
Wow.
In the MLB, only 750 players.
Goodness gracious.
And it ends by saying it's not that easy.
It's kind of like the Bible talks about, you know, people who get into heaven, many are called, but few will be chosen, right?
Yes,
like that. It's the ones who are going to really run the race, right?
Yes, exactly. And those stats only prove the dynamic that I was getting myself into once I got drafted. It's no longer you being the biggest fish in your pond. Now you're playing on teams with the same amount of talent, and you have to figure out how to separate yourself to be noticed to continue to move up.
I imagine it can be a little bit intimidating, can it? Is it kind of intimidating to be next to those who have kind of mastered a little bit of the ground that you have yet to master? Did you feel any of those feelings, or were you completely comfortable? What's it like to be with those big boys?
No, it was. I mean, you have so many different emotions coming through. Like you said, like I said before, you know, you're so used to being the best on your team or one of the best two guys on your team, and now you're on a team where you have to prove yourself again.
Right.
You know, you're on a team where guys have already been in that organization, and they have more of a head start than you do. So, there's times, I remember when I first got there, there's times where you don't know too many coaches' names by heart. You don't know who you can go to for questions. You don't know what to do, the times, and you do feel a little intimidated at that. But I remember, luckily I was blessed and fortunate to have someone pull me to the side and show me the way. you know, and they said, hey, man, don't get wrapped up into what you see. Just think about and focus on who you are, you
right.
know, and once I was told that and I was able to befriend that individual, it was back to the grind. It was back to practice. It was back to proving and making a name for myself.
Yeah. You're so young, CJ. I mean, you sound so wise, and you've been through so many years of this stuff. I'm really impressed with that. I understand you're now playing with the Washington Wild Things. Is that right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Is that Washington State or Washington, D.C.? And why don't you tell us about your team and a little bit about the Washington Wild Things?
Okay, yeah. I was at the beginning of this year. Well, last year I played with the Washington Wild Things. Because, you know, my time with the St. Louis Cardinals, just to catch up real quick, the time with the St. Louis Cardinals, unfortunately, I was released in 2011 at the end of spring training, and then I went into what we call independent baseball, which is equivalent to semi-pro basketball or semi-pro football. I went into independent baseball and signed with a team called the Washington Wild Things in 2013. Mm-hmm. I played with a couple other teams in another league, but just to catch you up real quickly, I played with the Washington Wild Things since 2013. 2014, at the end of the season, I was picked back up to affiliated baseball by the Chicago White Sox.
Wow.
And I was with them all of spring training and had a heck of a spring training with them. Put up some great numbers and a lot of things were going in my favor, and I felt like I was getting ready to be in U.S. Cellular Park in Chicago within no time. But things didn't work out on a business move. They had a lot of, you know, when you get over into affiliated baseball in the minor league, you know, they have things called obstacles, which are their investments. And if you don't have a lot of money invested into you, it's hard to get that opportunity that the big investments have. And I didn't see myself getting any younger, you know, sitting around waiting. So I believed with my faith that I could go out here with my ability and just put myself back into the shuffle. And I called up the Wild Things, and the White Sox granted me my release once I asked for it. Called up the Wild Things, and here I am, you know, back in the shuffle and hungry for another opportunity.
Well, I'm sure you'll get it, and I'm sure you're an asset to their team. CJ, I know you're a man of faith, and would you tell us about your faith in God and how it came to be, how it's helped you in your baseball career, and how you implement your beliefs into your career?
Okay, yes, no problem. That's one thing that I pray for daily. I say, God, one of my quotes that I have plastered onto my website on cjbeatty.com is, I am God's instrument, and I am not afraid to be played.
Yes.
Yes, I love the putting God in baseball. I think God and baseball goes hand in hand because baseball is a game of failure.
Mm-hmm.
And God has kept me grounded in this game because you're so faced with so many, you know, political and business moves. You're faced with sometimes you go up to bat and you could be seeing the ball looks like a beach ball one moment, and then the very next day it looks like a grain of rice, you know, and you can't hit the ball. But one thing that I am very thankful for is that my parents, at a very young age, instilled church and God into my life. We've been avid churchgoers ever since I can remember. And we go every Sunday, and I make it apparent to never miss a Sunday in the off season. And when I'm here playing ball, we're fortunate enough that Major League Baseball and independent baseball have collaborated to provide team chaplains with every single team.
It's
the best thing ever, you know, to be able to have somebody come preach the gospel and teach us every Sunday, whether we're on the road or whether we're at home. It's a blessing, and it helps us stay focused in our faith. But I'm very, very excited to always talk about and share the gospel with what He's done for me, and it's just very important. It's very important to encourage us as Christians to keep believing and to seek and help other people.
That is so precious to me. It just touches my heart, CJ. It's a wonderful thing to hear a young man in the status that you are and in the arena that you are, expressing your faith and sharing the gospel. I so admire that. I understand that you are a life coach, motivational speaker. How did you evolve into this calling, and what is your platform, and who is your audience?
Okay, well, I was blessed and fortunate to have the opportunity to go to Australia to play baseball. And right before the season ended, I wanted to start to figure out, you know, I'm a planner. My mom has always been big on me being a planner and having my house in order, as she said. And I wanted to make sure that I had a backup plan for whenever that day God says it's over for me, I want to make sure I have myself together on what I wanted to do. So one day I was FaceTiming my mother, and we were coming up with some options for me. And she came up, she said, well, won't you be have you ever thought about being a motivational speaker? Because at that time I've been going to elementary schools, grade schools, and just encouraging children and students to follow their dreams and to stay focused, and anti-bully speeches. And a lot of different people were telling me to get paid for my services. But I'm like, no, I'm just doing this as a favor and just helping up, just giving back to the community what was given to me. But she said, no, you might want to look into that. You know, a lot of people say you're good, and a lot of people really do listen to what you have to say, and they enjoy it.
Yes.
So I looked at it one day online, and I said, well, wow, some good speakers really do get paid a good money and make that a career. I said, well, then I thought about it, and this is when it had that light bulb. I said, well, if you tell me that I can get paid helping people feel better and increasing their faith, I think that's a win-win.
I think so, too. I think that's an awesome thing. And you know what? I want to hear more about that. But, CJ, we're going to pause for just a few moments. Don't hang up, CJ. I want you to hold on for a word from our sponsor to hear about the exciting Woods End series by author Alexandra Clare. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back to continue this great conversation with CJ Beatty.
The Woods End series by Alexandra Clare. When Andrea is framed for murder, she discovers that divorce cannot sever the ties from a dangerous cult. Follow Boston Police Detective Jared Scheel as he sets out to solve a murder and kidnapping, only to confront a vast conspiracy competing to produce the last Antichrist of world history. Against the backdrop of drama and intrigue, the Woods End characters come to see that demons are on their last assignments. Bible prophecy unfolds in real time, and Jesus Christ is at the door. Two books, Woods End, and the thrilling sequel, The Year Between the Woods. Download from Kindle, Nook, Screwpulp.com, or purchase the softcover at Amazon. Also by Alexandra Clare, a work of nonfiction, discerning spirits, visionary gifts, and practice. Find it all at alexandraclare.com.
LifeQuest Christian Network.
Welcome back to Reflecting His Gifts. We're talking tonight with CJ Beatty. He's a professional baseball player and a motivational speaker and life coach. And I have to say, I'm so impressed with this young man. He's only 26, and he just has so much wisdom and so much character, and he is using it for God and to be a blessing in this world. And CJ, would you say that the extreme discipline and diligence you've had, that you've used and implemented into your athletic endeavors, has spilled over into your character and your personal life? It would seem that you couldn't help but benefit mind, body, and soul from being that dedicated and diligent.
Yes. Mind, body, and soul has to be involved, you know, mind, body, and soul, because if it isn't, there's a lot of distractions out there that can get you distracted from your common goal, you know?
Yeah. Well, you've also designed something called Motivational Nuggets, which I understand are pieces of wisdom and inspiration that you've created to help others. Tell us about Motivational Nuggets and how we can see those.
Okay, well, Motivational Nuggets is the motivational speaking company that I started, and started out as the brand that I went out there and pushed so people can quickly find me. I started Motivational Nuggets, and second, I started the YouTube channel. And I checked last night, actually, the YouTube channel is closing in on 500,000 views. I have over close to about closing on 5,000 subscribers. And we started this all in 2013 of April. So it's just been a blessing what God has been doing. I mean, it started as an idea. You know, I was sitting on a twin band in Australia, and my mother came up with a name. She was like, Motivational Nuggets. And I kind of chuckled at her. I was like, my, I can't go around as a grown, strong-looking man and say, hey, my name is CJ Beatty, and I'm with Motivational Nuggets. And she was like, hear me out. Just understand that you're going to be able to give people a tidbit, you know, like a nugget of inspiration week to week.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, Mom, just because I'm a mama's boy, I'm going to listen to you. And that's how I got it started. It started off on YouTube, and I was just saying, I put it up there, and God has just been blowing it around, spreading the gospel to everybody.
Oh, I know. I've been looking at them. You know, CJ, I've looked over your quotes on your website, and I have to say, you are a pretty wise and inspirational guy. I'd like you to expound on some of those for our listeners and break those down for us. Is that okay? I chose some of them, and do you mind if I read them and you tell me what they mean to you and why you said that? Do you mind?
Yes. Go right ahead.
All right. One of them is, champions are not born at the end of the battle. Champions are born in the midst of a battle.
Yes, that's actually one of the first ones that I came up with that I was like, wow, I want to share this with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
One thing is, in sports, a lot of people look at the end result, and
mm-hmm.
they think that champions are defined by the hardware that comes at the end of a season. But what you don't understand, when you look into a championship team, the championship didn't come at the end. The championship came when they were in the midst of the battle. Sometimes
the midst
of the battle is in the off season. Sometimes the midst of the battle is during the tough times at the beginning or during the hardships that are in the middle of the season. But the champions weren't born at the end. The champions were born in the trenches in the midst of the battle.
You are so right about that. That's a wonderful one. I like this one, too. No matter the length of the race, your golden gates will forever be my chase. What does that mean?
Yes, that was very heavy on my heart one day. I was just going through, you know, your ups and downs. Everybody falls short, and I was having a tough time. I think I was going through some tough times in baseball and trying to figure out my identity, and one day I was listening to one of my favorite mentors, that of Joyce Myers, and she
mm-hmm.
says, no matter what goes on in life, you got to continue for your goal of reaching heaven. And then I thought about that, and I was like, you know what? This is like a race.
Mm-hmm.
This is a race, whether it's a sprint or a marathon, however long God wants us to be here. But at the end of the day, no matter what life throws my way, no matter the length of the race, the golden gates will forever be my chase. You got to keep that goal on your mind, in front of you, like it's a target, and keep shooting for it.
Exactly, because eternity really is our goal, isn't it? Our eternal life. And sometimes we lose sight of that, but that is really the ultimate goal. The next one is, when failure leaves, wisdom is left behind.
Yes, when failure leaves, wisdom is left behind. Because a lot of people run from failure. People run from failure, and as soon as the first sight of adversity sets in, they want to revolt back to being content, or revolt back to being, okay, well, I might have not gotten what I wanted, but I was at least somewhat comfortable, so let me go backwards to back to. And I encourage people to say that, you stay in the storm. You stay encouraged, because once failure leaves, every time failure leaves, you come out better. If you stand in there and you withstand what life gives you, wisdom will always be left behind for the ones that stay the course.
Yes, and you're right about that. Every tough time I've ever gone through, CJ, and every
mm-hmm.
even failure or mistake, it was a great lesson for me. And I think when we submit to God and allow ourselves to see it that way, mm-hmm. then those same failures can become the greatest strengths in our lives, can't they?
Yeah, it sure can. And that's another thing I tell everybody with God, I might not win every battle, but with God, I will win the war.
Mm-hmm. Well, and let's see, what about this one? I just love these. I really do. You ought to make a book of these. You really should. This one is, I know I can be tough on you, and I know most nights you hate me, but I promise if you keep working with me, I will make you a man. Signed, Baseball.
Yes. That's a touching one as well. It was another time for me that I really realized what the game of baseball has given me. You know, we all as athletes and competitors would like to reach the ultimate goal of Major League Baseball, playing on TV, millions of dollars, the fame, the fortune. We all would love that. But one thing that I can say, just reflecting on what the sport of baseball has given me is really helped turn me into a man. Like I said before, baseball is truly a game of failure, and you're going to fail way more times than you will succeed in this sport. But for the ones that stick with baseball and continue to swing that bat, continue to throw those pitches, and continue to work hard at it, those are going to be some people that will become some top-notch people in life. And I owe a lot to the game of baseball because I've learned a lot. I've learned how to be a better person with baseball. I've learned how to pick up a lot of teammates, which will carry on later on in life after I've swung my last. You know, I've learned a lot of things to take on to everyday life, which is being a baseball player.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're exactly right about all these things. And again, I'm just astounded at the knowledge you have and being so young. But I would have to say that your habits in baseball, your diligence and all of those good habits have probably brought you to a place of wisdom and your faith in God. CJ, you have to be in good form to play professional baseball. Do you follow a special diet, and what is your daily exercise regimen? I know our listeners, especially young baseball players, would love to hear all about that.
Oh, for sure. Well, one thing is, you have to make sure you start in the off season. Your off season is very key. You don't want to start a week before the baseball season and say, "All right, I got a week left. I got 10 pounds to get off, and I got to get my arm in shape." You definitely don't want to do that for the young listeners, and even for the person that's just trying to get better with themselves. Don't wait for a date to start. Start now. Don't wait for the new year to say, you know what, when 2016 comes in here, I'm going to be mentally ready, I'm going to be physically ready and ready to go. No.
Don't wait till 2016, right?
Exactly. Like, let's get it done now, But some of my diets that I like to follow, because I love food. Food is real good. I love food, but at the end of the day, you have to be smart because, this is your job. This is your life.
And
I make sure I get a heavy dose of vegetables, my protein. I have a protein shake. If I'm on the go and if I can't get my protein in me, I have some protein bars that I toss in my book bag and make sure I get my protein inside of me. I carry a gallon of water around with me everywhere I go, from the field to the locker room to the bus. In my hotel rooms, I make sure I get my water in so I won't be dehydrated come game day. I make sure I keep grilled chicken, rice, vegetables. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure you eat light, eat lean, but at the end of the day, you got to work out too. You got to go to the gym. I know they have us on a gym regimen where we're going three times a week to the gym. We're not in season. You don't want to bulk up too much because you don't want to look like a WWE wrestler when you're trying to be a baseball player. So they have us on lean workouts. The bulking is for the off season.
Yeah. Well, what is your favorite exercise to do, if you can call it a favorite one? Do you have a favorite one?
Oh, yes. I think it's every man's favorite exercise. Curls for the girls.
Oh, boy. Oh, no.
Bicep curls, baby. I always end every exercise doing bicep curls to make sure, you know, my arms look right in the polo shirt. And I'm just
of course.
I think my favorite my favorite exercise is the squats, because your legs are everything. Your legs are going to take care of you, you know, when you're tired. So you got to really make sure you have your legs underneath you. So I love doing squats. It takes care of your lower halves and hits a lot of other different large muscles down below.
Right. Do you take vitamins?
Yes. I make sure I take men's multivitamin. Everything you do to keep an edge, you make sure you do other everything other than HGH and steroids. And
you don't want that. Well, what about your rest? Do you rest well? Are you a good sleeper? Do you struggle with that? How important is rest?
It's very important, and I would say you get a lot of rest being a professional baseball player, because we don't have to be to the field typically until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon for a 7 o'clock game.
After
we get done at like 10:30 at night, by the time we get back to our hotel room at about 11:30 after we eat, you know, we have ample time to get in the bed, to wake up, to get a workout in and everything. So the only time it gets a little tough is when you're on the road to going from city to city. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, like if we get done at a 10:30 game at night and we have a game the next day, sometimes the field is like 8 to 10 hours away. So you get right on the bus right after the game. You have the bus packed and you're going to the next city in town. And sometimes you get in at like 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning to rush and fall into bed to get you about 3 or 4 hours sleep, and then get right back up and do it again.
Oh, me. Well, it has its ups and downs. You have good days and bad days, just like any profession, but it sounds pretty good to me. Well, CJ, do you encounter many other Christians in the sports world, and is it hard to maintain your character and your faith in that arena?
No, not at all. We have chapel every Sunday, and mm-hmm. I can tell you one thing that I'm very proud to say is when I first started playing ball, in 2009, it wasn't something that you were seeing a lot on the social media. You know, it wasn't really announced that, you know, that you are a devout Christian or that you are a Christian or putting Bible verses up now. But if you go on social media now, it makes me proud to see the level of how people are showcasing their beliefs.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's socially acceptable now. See, before it was almost like it was something that you would hide. And I'm thinking right now about me being in high school, and I remember people didn't want to talk about it. They did it, you know, they mentioned it, but they didn't want to talk about it. But now a lot of your sports figures are giving honor to God, and it just makes me feel good to know that people are not afraid or ashamed as much as they were back in the day. So on the team, you know, back when I started in 2009, there would probably be about two or three of us that would show up for chapel. But on this year's team, being in 2015, you know, we have about 11 or 12 guys that come out every Sunday, and the numbers continue to grow. We might add on, we might add two or three on, and the numbers continue to grow, and it speaks volumes, and it's something to be proud about.
That's so awesome, and I'm so proud of you for that. I'm going to be praying for you, because I just know God wants to use you in this world. You can always use a public testimony like that to touch many, many people. CJ, you speak a lot, and do you ever speak to at-risk kids or people, kids in orphanages or youth homes? I know those kids. Some of them have a heartache. They want to play sports, and they want to do these things, and they have nobody to help them. How do you instill in them the tools they might need, or give them a little hope to reach out and maybe get involved in sports? How do you help those kinds of kids?
Well, I love giving back to the community, and I always start with the youth, because the youth is our tomorrow. You know,
we
have to pour into the youth because they are tomorrow's leaders, and we have to believe that. So that's where everything should start. And then at the with the type of kids that you describe, you know, people got to understand that kids are kids and they need guidance. And they don't need an attempt. They need consistency, you know, and we have to be that consistent voice or person, physical person in their life to help get away from the statistical stereotypes. And I believe that everybody has something beautiful inside of them that needs to come out. Everybody deserves to dream. And one thing that I tell these kids is not to let anybody take their dreams away. Whatever you want to be, whatever it is that you want to be in life, you hold on tight to it and don't let nobody tell you that you can't do it.
Right.
That's one thing that I tell them. Whatever it is, you don't have to be a sports star to be famous. You can be a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, a dentist, or an astronaut. You can, and I always joke and I say, hey, you can even be the world's most famous tic-tac-toe player. If that's what you want to be, then be it.
I think that's good advice. And most little boys do have a dream to be an athletic figure. And I know a lot of those kids that have no fathers in their lives, especially sometimes think, you know, or they live in poverty and no one offers them the opportunity to play a sport or takes them to those gatherings. I think it's a really good opportunity for others to mentor those kids. My grandson, I raised him since he was four, and he always had a mentor from our church who really changed his life and added a lot to his life. So I'm very thankful for that. I think that's a really good ministry to be involved in. What would you say tonight to our young listeners and to those who have athletic dreams or any kind of dream and aspiration? What are some of the most important pieces of advice you could give to young people who have a dream?
I would say the most important thing that I would give to a young person that has dreams of being anything successful in life is to focus on hanging around like-minded people. You have to be careful who you associate yourself with. Be careful of the people that you call friends. Because if you're not hanging around the people that are going the same direction as you're going, then they could pull you off course and stop you from getting to your dreams. So that's why it's very important that you hang around people that are like-minded and going the same direction you're going. Get with somebody, even if you can't find somebody, because I know one question that I get asked a lot by the youth is, well, CJ, well, what if I can't find somebody that wants to be a Major League Baseball player? Like, so what am I supposed to do? Find somebody that is positive. Find somebody that is going somewhere positive in life, and you hang with them. Find somebody that's moving up, moving forward, and you hang with them.
Well, that's good advice, because I think the old adage is true, birds of a feather flock together. And, you know, some kids might want to pull another kid down and away from a lofty goal like that. So you do have to be with positive people. I think one of your quotes was, let me find it. Conversations are battles between positive and negative. And in these battles, negative only needs one victory to prevail. And you're right about that, right?
Yes, it is true. Another equation that I use all the time, it doesn't matter how many times you multiply 5 times 5 times 5 times 5. If all your friends are 5 but one, the last one you multiply is a 0, what's the answer? 0.
You're right. That's
you know, you can hang around a bunch of 5s, but if you throw in that 0 at the end, you're going to get 0. You know, and that's why it's important to hang with like-minded people, because you're only as strong as the weakest person in your group.
Yeah. Well, CJ, what about your social life? Do you go out? Do you have a girlfriend? Do you have a family? What is your social life like?
Yeah, it's very busy. I would say it's very busy with me focusing on being the best teammate, leader, and baseball player. And then after I take my uniform off, I go to my hotel room and I pull up the laptop and put my business suit on and try to figure out what's going on with my business. And and connecting
so
with my family.
So you're just a busy guy. There's probably not a whole lot of time for social activities, right?
Yeah, it's not too much time. I mean, I make time to make sure I clear my mind and to be able to reset and come back hungry. But one thing that I do when I talk to my mentors or listen to other people that have gone the places that I want to go in life, they say, in life, whenever you want to be the best or get to a certain point, you have to sacrifice.
And you do.
And so once I made that promise to myself, I said, you know what, I'd rather sacrifice some of my happiness now to live comfortably the rest of my life.
And that is so wise because, you know, some things require that kind of narrow path. And like you, I walk that path too because there are just some things, the pursuit of God, the pursuit of ministry. I'm a writer. And I really, truly, 100% believe all of God's word. And sometimes that narrows the path remarkably for us, doesn't it? And there are different standards and different values, and that even narrows it more. But I, like you, am willing to walk that path. And it's a peaceful path, and I'm very happy on that path. So we know where we're going, and like you said, our pursuit is the Golden Gates, actually, and eternity. So this is just part of the journey, right?
Yes, it is. It's a part of the process, and you just keep moving forward and keep God first.
Yes. Well, CJ, some of our listeners may want to contact you. I'm sure they will, to speak at their churches, colleges, or sports functions. How can our listeners read about you or contact you? And do you have a website? Tell us how to do that.
Yes, no problem. I will be more than interested in coming out, more than excited to coming out, and especially sharing the gospel. My testimony, it just makes me very excited to share that with people. But if you want to get in contact with me, you can send me a detailed email to my email at motivationalnuggets@gmail.com. If you want to get more information about me and my brand, you can go to cjbeatty.com. And on there, you can look at other videos, voiceovers, my bio, my speaking bio. Everything's on there. We have a motivational mixtape on there for the people that like to work out and listen to some things that can pump you up and get you going for that extra rep. That's on there as well. I mean, I'm on all the social media, so if you're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Vine, whatever it is that your thumbs can do, you just search CJ Beatty.
Yeah. Well, I encourage people tonight. I know our listeners have enjoyed talking to you. You're such a well-rounded young man, and I'm so impressed by you, and you will definitely be in my prayers, and I pray that God will use you mightily. I've been so inspired tonight by CJ Beatty. It's always so refreshing to find a young man who's accomplished so much in his life and at the same time maintained his good character and his faith in God. I know our listeners have enjoyed this show too. Thank you, CJ, for joining us this evening, and we pray for God to continue to use you greatly in this world and advance you. Be sure and join us again next week when we will talk with another wonderful guest with an inspiring story. Till then, may God keep you in his care. Good night, CJ, and good night, listeners.
The Woods End Series by Alexander Clare. When Andrea is framed for murder, she discovers that divorce cannot sever the ties from a dangerous cult. Follow Boston Police Detective Jared Shield as he sets out to solve a murder and kidnapping, only to confront a vast conspiracy competing to produce the last Antichrist of world history. Against the backdrop of drama and intrigue, the Woods End characters come to see that demons are on their last assignments. Bible prophecy unfolds in real time, and Jesus Christ is at the door. Two books, Woods End, and the thrilling sequel, The Year Between the Wood. Download from Kindle, Nook, Screwpulp.com, or purchase the softcover at Amazon. Also by Alexander Clare, a work of nonfiction, discerning spirits, visionary gifts, and practice. Find it all at alexanderclare.com.
LifeQuest Christian Network.